Well, welcome to church. Like, anybody's heart just feel full already? No, cool. Just me. Great. You guys, this is good. This is good. You ever tried to impress somebody? Right? You ever felt like, man, I just need to impress them? And if you've ever fallen in love, I guarantee you, you've had that tension, right? There's very few people who are like, I did nothing and they came to me, right? Like, you put your best foot forward, you're trying to impress them, trying to win them over, right? Like, the idea of impressing people is a tension we live with. I remember being in Bible college, and they had a class in Bible college to help you communicate to people better. I'll be real honest with you. I think the class was terrible. I wouldn't recommend it. I think there's this thing called the Holy Spirit that gave you gifts, that wants to use you. And I don't think a canned outline platform is what he intended. I think he wants to use you to be you and your voice to be you. Anyways, off my soapbox, right? So we got this class and you got 10 minutes. And so you got your message ready and you get up and you look out and it's all your fellow peers, students, and they've got like clipboards type things, and they're writing down, grading you on everything. What is his appearance like? Right? What is his hand gestures like? How does he use inflection? Did it communicate to me? What were his main points? Right? All this kind of stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I could care less what they wrote, right? Like, I could care less about my classmates, right? Like, what I really cared about was the professor. If I wanted to impress anybody, it was him. And so I got done and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And I get a stack of papers from the classmates. I'm like, yeah, we'll look at those later. Where's the professors, right? And I look and there's a grade on there and it's an A. And I'm like, yeah. And I go to read his comment and I'm like waiting for him to like tell me how much I impressed him. And it literally just says, don't ever dye your hair again. I'm like, seriously, out of everything I did for 10 minutes, that's what you got? And what I had at that time was like highlights, blonde highlights in my hair. And then I chose the natural version of that at some point in life. God chose it for me. But here's the thing. I went to him and I said, hey, what do you mean don't dye my hair again? He goes, nobody will ever listen to you. And I was like, well, I don't think that's true, because I think there's something called the Holy Spirit that's a little bigger than that. And so for a decade, I dyed my hair just to prove it to him. So dumb, so dumb. But we try and impress people, right? Like, it's what we do. We like to impress people. We like to set an impression, right? And to set an impression is that I want to do something to you that leaves a print. And you think a certain way because of that print. An example would be, 2 days ago, I walked past my daughter who's sitting at the kitchen table, and she's got like this little like clip package thing, and she's pressing slime into it. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, well, there's lettering on there. So I want to see if I can get it to stick and read it on the slime. She's trying to get an impression from this. She's trying to get a print, right? And what it would say is the impression that you would get. I remember being a missionary kid, and those of you that don't know what missionaries are, like it's people that, like a church like ours, we would send them out, they go to global locations and share the message of Jesus. So my parents were doing that, and for about 4.5 years, we were in Papua New Guinea, came back, and a lot of people called it vacation. It was nothing like a vacation, literally. Like, my parents were exhausted and burned out, and so technically it's called furlough, right? But here's what happened. As missionaries, you walk into a church and you're instantly what? Put on this pedestal, like, oh, these are the super Christians who have it all together. Well, I happen to be a middle school, no offense to middle schoolers, students, right? I happen to be a middle school boy. And we would go to these churches and they support my parents, right? So they get money from these churches and that's what allows them to do what they do. So it's really important that we make a good impression on these churches. So literally, like, I can remember a look from my dad when it wasn't going well. And it was like, oh, you're about to get it. You just wait till we leave here type thing, right? So we go into these churches and the churches were fine. Like, we knew how to act in church. And yet God made us, I had two older brothers, and God just made us boys. Like, boys do what boys do at that age. And so the worst part was, is people would invite us out for meals after, which sounds amazing, except they didn't want to talk to us. They want to talk to my parents and hear stories. And so we would sit there for like 3 hours at these meetings, right? And you gotta imagine, we've been to church after church after church. I've heard all these stories multiple times. And so inevitably, you begin to what? Be a middle school boy. God made you to squirm. It's what he made you to do, right? And so you begin to act up and find ways to entertain yourself with knives at the table, you know, like that kind of stuff. And it's not long before you get a real quick clue that you're not making a good impression. And if you don't make a good impression on these people, from my parents' perspective, what happens? They may not support you anymore. We live with all kinds of pressures, don't we? We live with all kinds of things where we're trying to impress people around us. Don't believe me? Take a look at social media. What is social media? I have to put something on there that will impress you, right? It'll leave an impression on you that you think a certain way of me. Right? You think about it. Some of the stuff that people post, it's like the pressure to do that. I got to be honest with you. I'm waiting for like the social media that's like, here's my worst day, right? Like I just woke up, went to Taco Bell for lunch. Sure you all want to see that, right? But it's not that, right? It's the highlight reel. It's our best foot. It's our vacation that I want you to know we took that vacation. And I want you to feel a certain way about it. Right? I want you to know how we're doing. And all of a sudden we live with all these forms of constantly we are aware of what we are projecting to other people. Hey, think about it. You guys, we just came in this room and God is present. God who is the creator God, who's holding it all together, who holds your breath in this very second, that is making the earth spin so fast and yet you're not dizzy like that God, right? And he holds it all and he knows right now you're in this room and you have a moment to worship him. And this is, can we just like be honest? This, some of us are like, I don't know if I can hit that note. I don't think I'm going to sing at this part. Because I'm more worried about what my voice sounds like to you than I am to lifting it up to this God who is in complete control of everything, including the very breath leaving my body. Right? I feel like I should raise my hand. Okay, I'm going to go for it. Well, this is what it feels like. Okay, it's angled. Is angled okay? Does it need to be straight? Wow, I see that guy over there and he's waving. Do I need to wave? Like, is the wave what I'm supposed to be doing right now? I know. I'm just going to keep him here. This feels safe, right? I'm just going to pretend like I'm carrying something. It feels safe. You know what? Maybe I'll spread him a little wider. How big was that fish? You ever heard that one? Right? I love, you guys, I'm going to pick on Pastor Ben for a second. I love Pastor Ben in worship. You know why? Because if you ever stand next to him, he don't care. And why? Because he loves Jesus a whole bunch. And this is a chance to worship the God that created him. And so he worships and the rest of us sit there and go, I don't know if that sounds good. But I love that he just raises his voice because that's what he was created to do. Isn't it crazy? Like if we just normalize this thing, that am I the only one that you get in a worship space and you're like, you're limiting yourself and the impression that you are giving to God because I'm so worried about impressing you. I'm so worried about what you will think. I'm so worried how I'll come across. I'm so worried. And all of a sudden, a moment that was created to enter into a beautiful posture with the person of God is lost. Because my eyes are on me instead of on him. But we do it all kinds of things. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul kind of is ending the letter, and the way he begins to end it in verse 11, he says, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Right? Well, we don't know. We don't know what happened, but all of a sudden there was a font change, you know? Like, we don't know how large those letters were. We don't know if it's because of his eyesight. We don't know what happened. But he states here, he goes, hey, I want you to know something. If I wanted to impress you with my penmanship, I'd let the other person do it. But he goes, I want my voice to leave an impression on you, and it matters that much that I'm going to write with my own hand, even though I know these letters are large. Verse 12, to those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Okay, so he writes specifically to a group of people. And if you're like, why are we talking about circumcision? What does this have to do with anything? This was, if you follow the kind of trail of the Bible, specifically into the nation of Israel, it was given by God as a way to identify as a true son of Abraham and a true son of God. And so what happened is that what was a sign there of going, hey, I represented with this group of people that God is my God. Then what they did over here is they were requiring others to do it. But what I want you to get is this, that it's a group of people who are making another group of people do something because they are trying to impress another group of people. And so they're now looking, right? They're now going, hey, you need to go through this act, through this action, this outward sign. You need to perform this outward sign. But really what they're trying to do is get you to do it so they can turn around and go, look how great we are. Look at what we're doing. Look at how the impact we're having. And maybe just for us, you should have your guard up when it comes to religion. And what I mean by that, I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of reading about people who were in a position of power that abused that power and have used it in a way in the name of God. I'm over it. But the way we avoid that is this. I don't allow somebody to put me under a gospel, under the good news, under the message that is not true. The message that is true is that it is Jesus and Jesus alone by grace through faith what saves you. That's it, right? And so what can happen though is that message is really freeing. And so you got Christians being crazy. Right? Like you got people out on the streets being wild. And so what the church did is goes, oh, we got to control them. And so what happens is a group of people, why? Because here's the thing, somewhere along the way, people thought that if I'm a good pastor, you're going to be good people. That ain't my job. My job ain't to make you not do certain things. That's God's job. Right? And so somewhere along the way, we started to go, okay, if we're going to have 300 plus students in a room, then we got to control what they do. Right? Why? Because they are a representation. When they go to their schools, they're a representation of what? Heights Church. And so we got to control what they do, tell them what to do. Why? Because we, the people making them do it, are trying to impress. Look at how great we are, right? Like, look how good we, have you seen our students? Woo! Our students are better than, well, they are, but you know, like our students are better than any other students. They don't swear. They don't smoke. They don't hang out with people that do. I don't know why I chose those. Those are weird, right? Isn't it funny how we can get sidetracked from the gospel? And what's happening here? They're getting sidetracked from the gospel. They're going, hey, you guys got to do this. You got to put in some self-effort and self-worth and gain some self-value to be bigger and better. No, you don't. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he died on a cross for your sin. And if you believe that, you have everything. There's nothing else to earn. There's just a life to live that is living that out in every space and let it impact every single space you go into. And here's the thing, right? Like they're going, we got to control this, because if we control this just right and we make you do just the right things, then we look like we got it together, church. I would much prefer to be a part of a community where we are struggling, but it's real. I would much prefer to be a part of a community where marriages are actually changing, not just changing behavior modification towards one another that will run out. Right? I don't want to be families that are raising their kids in such a way that the rules are so stringent and so tight around them, and we keep preaching at them what it means to be a good Christian, so much so that when they get older, they're like, I don't want anything to do with the faith because it doesn't work. You know what's crazy to me? I was just having a conversation with somebody in between services. You know what's crazy to me is how for years the church would set all these rules to try and impress and control, right? That we've got it all together. And then you go home and the marriages are toxic. And then we wonder why our kids go, I don't want to be married. You wonder why we have promoted a gospel of legalism, meaning there's things you got to do and got to perform, and we promote that and push that. And then when it doesn't work and it falls apart, we wonder why the people who were willingly with us go, I'm out. Because you were always meant to represent God. You were always meant to, as Todd said last week, reflect God. And so what happens is, in this case, the reflection that's given is it's more about them and them impressing somebody else. And then he goes on and says, the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. He gives the motive. He goes, hey, they're making them do this, right? Like, and it's looking good for them. But then what happens is he goes, hey, the only reason they're doing this is to avoid persecution. Now, remember, in the story of God, and specifically in Paul's life, there's a moment in Paul's life, Paul's the author of this, there's a moment in Paul's life where Paul is going to Damascus and he has in his hands papers. And those papers are to kill Christians. Okay, so people that have rejected Judaism, he is out here on the streets chasing people down and putting them to death. Right? That's what he's been mandated by. So people that are connected to the Jewish faith that have now met Jesus, what do they know? If I leave the Jewish faith is what? They're going to come after me. How do I know that? Because persecution was rampant when this was written. So there's this tension, right? So what they decide to do is to bridge some of the gaps back to what some thought was there with some thought here, and we can actually mesh these together. So they're trying to mesh the two religions together by going, you know what? If we just take a little bit of that and we take a little bit of Jesus and we put it together, we'll be safe. Their motivation was it's easier. Their motivation was this is safety. Isn't it interesting when it comes to conversation about how we act? There's something innate in our brokenness as humans that we love a good list of rules. You ever notice that? But you ever notice you can't keep them? You know what I mean? Like, you walk into a room and there's a sign that says, don't touch the light switch. And the whole time you're like, ooh, no, I shouldn't. But what happens if I do? Right? There's just something inside as you tell me, don't do that. Right? Like the Bible often says, like, do not fear. You ever tried that? I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to be scared. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's something inside of us that we know. We love a good rule, but we can't keep a good rule. And yet, in so many religious circles, what have we done? We create these rules. We create these do's. Now, I'll be real honest with you guys. It'd be way easier to do my job and preach if I could just come in and go, hey guys, I wrote a bestseller, five keys to a healthy life. And I'll just give you the five keys. Hey guys, I wrote another book, five keys to what it means. Why is it always five? We'll go seven, because that's the number of completion in the Bible. Seven keys to being a good Christian. And instantly, we would go, ooh, what are these going to be? Right? Like, well, first off, let me just help you out. There is no such thing in the Bible as a good Christian. Like, let's just eliminate that concept, right? Like, you are a Christian or you're not. That's it. You're either reflecting Jesus or you're not. It's that easy. But we love a good, give me a list, right? So you get this list and now you leave here and you're like, okay, I got this tangibly. I can go do this. No, you can't. Because that's not what you were saved to. That's not what this is all about. When Jesus shows up and he saves you, he transforms you and he gives you the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. Now, let's put that in context. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power that allows Jesus to perform miracles, the same power that brings life is inside of you right now in the form of the Holy Spirit. That's the power that's beating inside of your body right now. And we think, okay, the power is in self-will. You are no match. I am no match for sin, and I never will be. It'll beat me every time. I will never overcome sin in my own power, ever. You know why? Sin is crafty. It finds new ways to get you, right? Because the power isn't in what? In my own flesh. But what we crave easier. But you weren't called to easy. You know what you were called to? You were called to walk by the Spirit, moment by moment. You were called to take this power that is inside of you and to live my life moment by moment, aware that the power to overcome, the power to be set free, the power to not do the same things again is inside of you. I don't know if I say this in church. I don't have anybody to ask. I asked Pastor Ben last night, so maybe I'll just say it anyways. That booty call, you don't have to pick up. What do I mean? Friday night, your phone rings, it's them. You know why they're calling. You don't have to pick up the phone. I'm tired of people going, well, I just couldn't help myself. Yes, you can. You know why? Because you have the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead inside of you, and you have the power to overcome that moment and not pick up the phone. Amen. Right? You have the power inside of you. That for some of you, you're going to go to the cabinet again. You know the cabinet I'm talking about? It's out of reach of the kids because you don't want the kids to get it. And up there, you got all your alcohol up there, right? And you're like, oh, I can control it, but you can't. And you know you can't. But you keep going back to that cabinet, right? And tonight, you're going to go back to that cabinet. And you're like, I just can't. It's overwhelming. It's too much. I just need to let go of what my day's been and what. And so you go back to, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have the power to not open the cabinet. In fact, you have the power to pour it down the sink. If it's a problem, get rid of it. That's the power that's inside of you. Some of you, you're like, I just don't know what you're talking about. I went to a prayer meeting and I just had some prayer requests. No, you didn't. You gossiped. Because your issue is you can't control your mouth. Your mouth runs all the time and it's hurting people. Well, I can't stop it. It's the way God made me. Yeah, he made you to talk. Yeah, I'll give you that. He didn't make you to use your words in that way. Well, I just can't stop it. You don't understand. Yes, you can. You have the power that raised Jesus from the dead inside, and he's inside of you, and he can control your tongue because James tells me he can. Right? You have the power inside of you. I have to choose whether I'm going to set up rules and regulations, right? So my rule is, okay, I'm never answering the phone from that person. Good luck with that. Good luck. Because they'll find another way to communicate with you. Oh, I'm not going back to that cabinet, but I left it there, but I'm not going back, but I left it there and it's always on my mind and you'll go back. Until you choose that the way to live your freedom that you've been given in Jesus is by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be overcome every time. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into the things that are opposite of the person of God. He won't. And we have the same tension that they have here. We want the easy way out. Give me the easy option. Give me the list of rules, John. Tell me what I need to do. Tell me how I should act. No, no, no. What I will tell you is you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And what we are told is if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If these people were walking by the Holy Spirit that he's talking to, they would not be trying to impress other people by making other people do religious things. They just wouldn't. But their own selfish ambition to be impressive to somebody else is what's driving them. And in that moment, driving them by their very flesh. Well, how do I know that? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. If you're in any question of what the flesh is, it's all there. Your booty call is there, by the way. Somebody liked it. One person. We'll keep that for next time. Don't be sorry. I liked it. It was a good moment. I hope it's happening in Baghdad right now. It was a good moment. You see, sometimes I think we really, really just want this thing to be easy. But when I look at the person of Jesus, you guys, the cross wasn't easy. The cross was excruciating. When I look at the life that Jesus lived, Jesus didn't live a comfortable life. Somewhere along the way, we exchanged the idea of a Christian life for a comfortable life. I know many a person, I know somebody right now personally who's sitting in hospital. Ask them if they're comfortable right now. I talked to somebody else who lost a loved one this last week. Ask them if they're comfortable right now. You weren't designed for comfort. You were designed to walk with the living God. And because he knows how broken we are, he went to great extremes to put inside you the Holy Spirit so that you could walk the life that he created for in Jesus, one that is free, one that is abundant. It says in the next verse, verse 13, not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet you want to be circumcised that they may, or they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. It's so interesting to me that he's going within this context. He's talking about like, hey, they can't even keep the law themselves. You know what's crazy? Every human that ever put human standards on me in the name of religion can't even live them themselves. Like at some point, we got to be honest. We're out here on these streets together, struggling together. And the only hope we have is the person of Jesus. And the only hope for this life is the Holy Spirit working through us. And we just got to be honest with that. And that means I'm going to have good days and I'm going to have bad days. But if I have honest days, that's the difference. But we're designed to do it together and walk together. Because there is no other option that works. Verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. May I never boast. So Paul kind of reaches this point with his large letters on this paper. And he goes, may I never boast. We live in a culture that boasts all the time. We live in a culture that's all about us making something greater. And often it's me making myself greater. Like social media is something within our cultural system that it's toxic for us. You don't believe me? Read the statistics of what it does to your teenage kids. Read where depression and how the suicide rate has been affected by your daughters seeing people who are trying to impress them with how great their clothes are and how skinny they are and what body image they should have. And what do? They start to look at themselves. Why? Because somebody else is boasting about this is the way. This is what's awesome. Hey, I'm not preaching at, and I feel like I'm preaching at, I ain't preaching at you. I've raised kids in two generations. One generation, we let them have social media. This one, I'm not. Because I see the damage it's doing. And until they can handle it, until they can make a choice, it's up to them. But why? Because people boast. You know what? I'm sick and tired. Wow, I sound really grumpy today. I don't know what that's all about. I don't know where that came from. I'm fatigued by seeing your kids and how awesome they are on social media. Your kids ain't that awesome. You know why? Because they're hellions just like everybody else. You just chose to capture them when they were good. Right? Like, let's be honest. That's what it is that you boast about. Look how great we are as parents. Man, I just want people to post. I was talking to one of the safety guys who's walking around today. I'm like, I think I'm just going to start posting like reality 100% and see how it goes. Right? You think about what we've been given in the Holy Spirit, that you can produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. Right? That you have this self-control, which means you have control of the self. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to give you and wants to produce within you. And we're so busy trying to go, man, I'm gonna love you more. And you try and love somebody more and they're like, I'm gonna have you arrested. Don't love me. Right? Or you think about peace. And so you're like, I gotta get to this place of peace. So I'm gonna create a Zen pool in my backyard and I'm gonna sit there. And you know what's funny? You may think it's peaceful until your kids show up. And you're like, ugh. Why? Because the only thing that can bring peace and love and joy, the only thing that can bring a gentleness to your anger, the only thing that can bring kindness for your cynicism, the only thing that can allow you to actually control this self is God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. And it came at an amazing cost, you guys. The end of that verse says, through which, so he says, may I never boast except for in the Lord Jesus, which just a random question on that. Like, what are you boasting about? What's your life boasting about? If it's not Jesus, it's pretty worthless. I'm going to be honest. May I never boast. And before you go, man, John was like really in my business today. Hey, I understand football season's coming. I'm going to boast about the Steelers. I get it. We all got the same struggle. May I never boast except for our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You have to get this. I know I'm over time, but this is so important, so important. There is a triple crucifixion that happens right here. And the first crucifixion is Jesus. What did Jesus do? He went to a cross and they crucified him. Now, as excruciating as the physical side of that is, you just need to understand that what's happening in that moment is he is taking the entire sin of the human race, your sin, my sin, and the entire human race, and he is putting it on him. And he is in that moment, he is taking the sin of every single human that will ever live. And he is allowing it to be placed on him, and it's causing separation with the Father on your behalf. He who knew no sin became sin. Why? So that you could become right with God. And so he takes on and he's crucified in that moment, and there's separation, there's a tearing apart. And it says one of the things that is torn apart in the second crucifixion is that the world and all its systems, you realize that the enemy has this world and he's gearing it towards leading you away from Jesus, and everything around you is geared to push you away from Jesus, not towards, from the world's standards set up. And it says, you have been crucified to that, which means it has no power. It means we don't have the excuse that like, well, I just live in America in this time. No, you has no power over you. You've been crucified to it. But what it also says is I have been crucified I have been crucified with Christ, he said earlier in this letter. So therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives through me. What do you have right now? You have the greatest gift given to any human that's ever lived. And it is the freedom. It is the freedom that comes in the person of Jesus. You've been set free. And here's what that means. Here's what that freedom is for. It means that I can walk and live by the Spirit of God. That freedom means that as I walk and live by the Spirit of God, he produces within me the very taste of heaven. He produces in me the life of God through me to everything. And it means that I can live in freedom. Freedom means you have a choice. And so as we wrap up our time, I want to do it different today, if you'll let me. What I mean by that is this, that we've been in this for, I think it's 9 weeks, maybe 10, I don't know. But we've walked through the letter of Galatians, and you've heard for weeks now. In fact, there was a 4-week block where it was the same message every week, right? You could have taken your notes from the week before and kept them. Jesus plus nothing equals everything, right? Like that was just the... And then we hit the point where he starts talking about true freedom. And here's what I feel sometimes we miss. That this is not designed for you to walk away and just go, well, that was good. I hope you do that because I want to impress you. Just kidding. But we're meant to respond. We're meant to respond to what God puts in front of us. The only way we change is through response. And so in a few moments, here's what we're going to do. That if you're here and you've been here maybe over the weeks, whether that's here or Baghdad Paulden online family, and you just go, hey, I felt this tug. If I keep trying to find my self-worth in what I do before God, I'm still trying to make God happy. I'm still trying to live up to some expectation that somebody else put on me of what this Christian faith looks like. That maybe you find that you're the one putting those expectations on other people. That's not your job. Maybe for you, it was the, hey, I'm free, but I'm using that freedom and I'm living for myself and the works of the flesh are in my life. Like sin is just running rampant. I keep making the same choices. I keep coming back to the same place. And as we've gone through this, you realize I need to go back to the foundation of Jesus plus nothing is everything. I need to go back to the foundation of I need to walk in the power of the Spirit. Because I've been missing that. So here's what we're gonna do. If you are, would you stand where you are? I promise it's not that scary. And now I'm just gonna ask you right where you are, just kind of close your eyes or bow your head, whatever, just for privacy for those around you. And again, I think there's something powerful about when we respond physically to a decision and things that are happening on the inside. And so if you're here and you go, John, I resonate with those things. I resonate with someone who's trying to earn my way to God, or I'm trying to make God happy. I'm trying to earn something that I already have. Or you're here and you go, I'm in a space where, yes, it's Jesus, but I've added all these rules and all these things that I think I've got to keep up with. Or maybe you're here and it's just a harsh reality that you realize you live more by your flesh than you do the very Spirit of God that's inside of you. And today you need to surrender and go, I'm done with that, whatever that is. And I'm coming back to just the foundation of Jesus. And maybe for you, it's just the realization that I need to walk by the Spirit of God. Because my life doesn't look a lot like love, joy, peace, patience, the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to count to three. And on three, I'm just going to raise your hand. And the reason for your hand being raised is one, you are making that decision. It's happening inside of you. But I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray over you. And so one, if any of that resonates, two, God loves you so much. Three, just go ahead and raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over the room. Thank you. Thank you. God, we just come before you, the creator, sustainer, maker of our souls. God, we pray over each and every hand in this room, in multiple other rooms where people are gathered. God, I pray that you would meet, just like we started, meet us where we are at. These hands raised, God, it's just our declaration that we need more of you, that we need to come back to a fresh foundation of everything you've given in Jesus, that we need to strip away all these things where we just want to work to try and earn something we already have. God, we strip away the works of the flesh and the sin that is beating us down, God, and we come to the foundation that through Jesus, we just stand by the Spirit. And so in these moments, would you speak? God, as we make room for you, we make room through worship for you to continue to work. God, we ask for your Spirit to do what is natural in heaven, but we ask that supernaturally here, you speak and you move and you create a power in this space through our worship, God, that we feel your presence, that we know you are here. And would you speak to us and confirm the decisions we've made? We pray over Baghdad and Paulden today and our entire online family, that the Spirit would be present and moving as we make room through our voices and our song to just say thank you for loving us so much. And everybody said,